people have a tendency to look at what's going on in their natural life, and then they'll look at the promise of God, and they'll see this disparity between them. They'll go, well, this is what God's word says, but this is what I'm really experiencing. And so they can't justify what's the gap that's in between. And there seems to be this great gulf fixed between what the word says sometimes and what we're actually experiencing. And so the conclusion that people will come to then is that, well, God's word must not be true. Either that, or I've failed in some way so desperately, or I've done something that I'm not worthy of experiencing those promises. Well, you know, my answer for that is, you know, we weren't worthy, and we never will be worthy. Jesus died for us. It was a gift. Salvation is a gift. It has nothing to do with our worthiness. So praise God for that. Amen. But it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. And so those are things we need to spend time thinking about. The fact that our life as a believer, our life as a Christian, that will affect our natural life, it's in Him. It's in Him that we live. It's in Him that we move. And that there's a discipline required for us to actually get to the place where we begin thinking this way. That's what being spiritually minded is all about, where we begin to think in line with the Scripture. We begin to think in line with the truth of God's Word. And we stop moving by the things that are apparent in the natural realm. And so, it's a hard thing for people to get their heads around the fact that our lives are not limited to this natural physical realm. They're not limited. What you might think are your natural limitations, that is not really the truth. That may be true in a physical sense. You know, we see so much claimed by Christians that I want to be the confession police, you know. As other people confess stuff over themselves and say things about themselves that just have they don't appear to look anything like what God says. And it's because they're calling it as it is instead of what God says. And so that's what has to change. We have to start identifying with that inward man, not the natural realm, but the spiritual realm. And because our lives aren't limited to what we are in the natural. Aren't you glad? Amen. Boy, I'm so glad. You know, Pastor shared many times about how when he was young, he wouldn't even take a speech class at school because he was so afraid to stand in front of people. What if he had allowed that to limit him, you know, when God placed a call in his life? What if he had allowed that to limit him? He would never have answered that call, knowing that he would have to stand in front of people and share the word. And I confess, I was very much the same way. I was one of those people that was so nervous about drawing any attention to myself that even if you're in a large assembly type of thing and I had to go use the restroom, I would not do that just because I didn't want to draw any attention. So, you know, you have to, oftentimes we just have to move beyond what we see and know of ourselves in the natural and say, if God's word says it, then it must be true. It must be true. And it's just a process of renewing the mind until our mind agrees with what is true about us in the spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 talks about the three parts of our person, spirit, soul, and body. It says that God will sanctify us wholly, spirit and soul and body, and that we will be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord. And so the thing that we have to endeavor to do is we need to endeavor to differentiate between the three parts that we are. Now, we have a physical body. That's what gets us around here on this earth, right? But, man, we can't let our physical bodies be Lord. We can't let them dominate. We can't let... All they are is a vehicle to get us around. It's what enables us to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, to serve other people. We have a physical body for a reason. Amen? And we're blessed. But so many people live at that level. Everything is... Their lives are dominated by what they can see, what they can hear, what they can taste, what they feel. They're dominated by that. And God wants us to learn how to differentiate between that physical part of our lives and who we really are in the inward man. You know, when we die and we leave this earth, our body, our physical body is going to be left behind, but we are going to continue on. The real part of us, which is our spirit, is going to live on for eternity. Sure. Now, there's coming a day when our bodies will be made new, they'll be glorified, and we'll be reunited with our body, but the real part of us That's why people just step out. They step out of their body and they just step over to the into that realm of the spirit when their time comes. But when we were born again, such a dramatic thing took place on the inside of us, and it wasn't a physical thing that happened. You know, a lot of people doubt sometimes that they're even born again because they don't feel any different after they're saved. Now, some people have a renewed sense of joy. You know, Pastor shares about how he lost his potty mouth after he got saved. That just changed immediately for him. Some people go through some things like that, but a lot of people don't see any real change at all. And so, again, judging by the natural, that leads them to wonder, to question whether or not anything happened. Were they really born again? Did anything really happen to me? Am I saved? Because I don't feel any different. You know, I still look the same. I still feel physically the same. Nothing really happened. Well, it was a dramatic change, but it wasn't a physical change. There was nothing physical that changed whatsoever. And 2 Corinthians brings that out, chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, what things became new? The part that's in Christ. He explains it right at the very beginning of the verse. He says, if any man be in Christ. Now, that just doesn't mean that you're a churchgoer. That means you've experienced that change. Your spirit man was regenerated, and you were born again. You've got a brand new spirit. It says here that if a person is in Christ, if he's born again, if he's a new creature, and old things are passed away. So that's not talking about the natural man. It's just talking about who we are on the inside. We're talking about the part of us that communes with God. That part was made brand new. Amen. It was born, really the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of us, and we are just like Jesus on the inside.
Amen.
Amen? Everything that he is, we are in this world now. And so it's what we are in Christ that was changed. Nothing in the natural changed at all, and sometimes I think we wished it had. But boy, would this world ever be strange if that was happening with Christians, you know, if the natural side of us changed to match what happened in our spirit. I don't think the world could handle us. But so the challenge for us as believers is just to continue learning who we are in Christ, to learn who we are in the spirit, and then to learn how to live from that place. And that's totally possible. It is totally achievable in this natural life for us to do that. And so talking about, again, going back to Psalm chapter 91, verse 1, that secret place that we looked at there, in him, in Christ, the secret place, those are all references to what 1 Peter 3, verse 4 refers to as the hidden man of the heart. It's talking about who we are in the spirit. And that is a huge challenge for us as believers, to begin relating to ourselves from that perspective, that I am not just this natural man. I am what God says about me. All of the things that the scriptures that say, all the promises of God, what they say, they are all about me. That's all about me. And boy, that's a mind bender. You know, that's a mind bender. It talks about being holy, being set apart, being sanctified, all of those types of things. Those things are all true of us. They're true of who we are in the spirit. Now, John chapter 3, verse 6, when Jesus was talking with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus asked him some things, and Jesus talked to him about what the new birth was like, and boy, Nicodemus had some questions. He said, how can a man being old return to his mother's womb, you know, to be born again? And Jesus' answer to him was, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And so the natural man, he's saying that which is born of the flesh, the natural man, nothing changed. Nothing, it remains unchanged. It will remain unchanged. I mean, it slowly, as we get our minds renewed, life transformation begins to take place. But that is totally dependent upon the renewing of the mind. You want things to change in the natural realm, then you've got to get your mind renewed. And once your mind gets renewed, then your mind and your spirit gang up on your natural man, and the natural man has to just follow suit. But he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So nothing about the flesh changed. But he said, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And so the spirit man is what became new. There's no direct connection whatsoever between the natural man and the spiritual man. I mean, as we renew our minds, they can interrelate, but there's no direct connection. That's why you can never check how your body is feeling to know whether or not you're healed.
Yes.
Now, eventually, your flesh will catch up. Eventually. But you can't go to your flesh to check whether or not you're healed any more than you can check with your flesh to know if you're saved. Because if you check with your flesh is going to tell you you're not saved. Because there's things that we feel in our flesh, there's things that we do sometimes with our flesh that are not like a saved person. So you cannot go to your flesh as a resource to determine whether or not the promises of God are true. Whether you can't go to your flesh to determine whether you're healed. You can't go to your flesh to determine whether your needs are met, whether the joy of the Lord belongs to you, all of those things. You can't do that because that which is of the flesh is flesh. And you can't determine spiritual truths by checking in your flesh because there's just no real connection between the two. And you can't contact your spiritual realities or check on spiritual realities with a natural, physical, or soulish person because spiritual realities can't be felt. They can't be felt in a natural sense. Now, yes, when a physical manifestation comes, obviously that can be felt. But if you're waiting for it to be felt before you believe it or before you that becomes your mindset, you'll never experience it in the natural. Never. And that's where the fight of faith comes in. That's where you have to fight to keep your mind stayed on what the Word says, to continue to hold fast to what the promises are, whether it feels in the natural or looks in the natural or any of the natural things. If you're checking them to verify whether or not those realities are true, you're going to have a problem. It's going to be a problem. And so, you know, the Word tells us so many wonderful things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are there days when that absolutely does not seem like it's true? Probably a lot of days. By His stripes I'm healed. God meets all my needs according to His riches and glory. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. God's blessed me with all spiritual blessings. I could probably have all of you throw scriptures at me like that are real. They're realities. They're things God says about us. But there's no way for your flesh or your emotions to confirm that those things are true. Absolutely no way. Now, sometimes people, they get a little excited about the Word. And they get emotionally stirred up when they hear something. And they'll think that that's, you know, their confirmation. That isn't a confirmation either. You know, whether you feel something or not, it's true. The Word is true. Absolutely true. And so there's just no possible way for your flesh or your emotions to confirm the reality of God's Word or the truth of God's Word. And that's why, you know, Andrew Womack uses the example of looking in a mirror. He uses the, first of all, the natural example. There's some things you just can't possibly know about yourself, even physically, unless you look in a mirror.
That's right.
You can't tell if your hair needs to be combed or if you need to touch up your lipstick, ladies. Or if your shirt's buttoned up right or whatever, there's some things you just can't possibly tell unless you look in a mirror. Well, that is true of who we are in the spirit realm as well. In James, it tells us that we have to look into the mirror of God's Word to know what manner of person we are. There's no way by checking the natural. And I shared this last week that when I'm going through my own healing journey, there were days, many days, that I was tired. I just didn't feel good. I just was achy and tired and just, you know, that I had to just absolutely refuse to be moved by that. And I had to cling to the fact that I knew exactly what God's Word said, and that was my truth.
Amen.
That was what was true for me. You know, to me, natural symptoms are lies. That's all they are. They're symptoms. I consider that to be a lie. It might be let me think. Oh, it's just a symptom. I was going to say it might be a fact. It might be a fact, but it's still, it's subordinate to the truth of God's word. Absolutely subordinate. And so there's the second verse here in Psalm 91 says, I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. When I studied out what it means to I will say, one of the definitions there of I will say is I will answer. So when a pain would come, or absolute fatigue and just overwhelming, just lousy, just feeling lousy would be there. You know, after having surgery, you go through sometimes a couple months of just horrible, crazy feelings, you know. And I know a lot of people I've talked to since I had my surgery told me that it took them a couple months to recover from that. So I think some of even what I was experiencing was just recovery from an anesthetic, you know, being put under by a general anesthesia. But I had to just determine that was not my reality, and that I was going to cling to what the Word had to say. And so, I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. That means I would answer those things when I'd have a symptom, a pain, a twinge, a fatigue, just. Or thoughts that would try to come. You know, this isn't over, blah, blah, blah. You know, the stuff the devil tells you. You know, the fiery darts. Sometimes they come rapid fire, you know. And I would say, and so to me, I was answering. Every time one of those things would come, I'd answer it. I would answer it. And I would answer it by saying, God is my refuge, and He is my fortress. That who I am in Him. He is my refuge and He is my fortress. And so you can't consult your flesh to know whether or not you're healed. You can't consult, well, now there's some wisdom that comes into some of this. Like if you apply these principles to your finances, obviously you can't spend money that you don't have in your checkbook, because you know people say, well, I'm not going to consult my checkbook to see if whether or not I, you know, so I'm just going to just spend like crazy. No, we have to use wisdom too. There's some natural wisdom that has to play here, you know, in the natural sense. Even though I was determined I wasn't going to act like a sick person, I wasn't going to post a bunch of junk on Facebook, poor old me. You know, I did not want to be treated like a sick person. I didn't want to act like a sick person. But there were days when I was physically unable to do normal things because I was exhausted. I did what I could. But so you have to have this balance of natural wisdom and spiritual wisdom at play. But never, like I told you, there's many days my husband didn't know. He didn't know most of the time how lousy I felt because I didn't tell him. I just didn't tell them. And to me, that's one of the things that the body of Christ has failed at miserably. They just, they use their mouth to represent their flesh instead of their spirit. Right. And it's just this constant talking about what they're allergic to, what they're sick about, what they can't do, what they, you know, we got to stop that. Yes, we need to turn our lives around. And so stop consulting your flesh to verify whether or not you're healed or whether you're prosperous or whether you've got the joy of the Lord or any of those things. You know, you just can't consult your flesh. Your flesh will never confirm that you're healed. About the time you get one area licked, something else will pop up. You know, I've been dealing over the last couple months, I haven't even told my husband this, with one of my knees. Just like, nope, you know what? You know, you got to be like David, where you talk about you beat the lion and you beat the lion and the bear, and you know what? The knee can get beat too. Amen. So, but you know, you just keep going, and when the symptom crops up, you speak to it. You say what you know the Word says about your situation. We don't need to confirm how bad we feel. We don't need to be speaking it out. I'm really sick today. Boy, I'm really feeling it. You know, why? Why do it? Why let your mouth be a spokesperson for your flesh? Don't do it. Let your mouth be connected to your heart and speak what the word says about you only. Amen. So John 6:63, another scripture that along these lines, it says, it is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So your natural man, he says, the flesh profits nothing. Your natural man is of no use or benefit for determining spiritual truths.
Which scripture?
John 6:63.
Thanks.
Your natural man is worthless for determining spiritual truths. You cannot determine healing by your natural man. And you've got to get this settled once and for all. Because if you're fighting a healing battle, you're going to have symptoms. MA might go on for a long time. You know, most of you know that back a few years, several years ago, I had this issue going on in my neck where I had, what the doctor called it, arthritis. There was like a spur in one of my vertebrae in my neck. And from sitting at the computer with my head back, I wasn't practicing good OSHA things, I guess, I pinched my spinal cord over, and this was just over a process of time, and so I started having numbness in my arm. And, of course, my natural, regular doctor, she freaked out right away, you know, because they freak out when anything is going on with your spinal cord. So she sent me to have an MRI, and sure enough, they saw that there was like a spur in there, and so, well, we could do surgery, blah, 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 and eventually you'll have to do surgery. And so I just thought, okay, well, I'll do what I have to. I did a little bit of physical therapy, but Dwayne and I attacked it in the spirit. We attacked it with the word. And I think it took me probably 2 or 3 months to get through that. I was miserable. I had headaches from it. I had pain and tingling in my arm, in my shoulder. And we just kept after it. He joined up with me. And, you know, if you're married, now if you're not married, you still have people that can help you. But if you're married, your bodies belong to each other. And my husband could speak to my body like it was his body. And so we got that revelation from Corinthians, you know. And so he just came right up alongside of me and joined with me in that. But it was every day for 2 or 3 months that it didn't seem like anything was changing at all. Nothing. I'd have pain. I had pain in my head from it. And, you know, that kind of headache, nothing really seems to help it. And it just seems like one day, I don't know exactly when it happened or what, it just stopped. It stopped. It was better. Now, during that process, I had some physical things done. I went to a chiropractor for a period of time and had some things done. But even that, I didn't depend on that. There was a time when the Lord challenged me about that and said, you're depending too much on this. And I knew what he was saying to me, you stop going there. Now, I wouldn't have done that unless the Lord had told me. You know, there's some things, you have to find where your peace is. When you're fighting a healing battle, you have to find out where peace is. I shared with you, they wanted me this time in my physical journey with the cancer, they wanted me to go through certain things, certain types of treatment, and, you know, we thought about it, we considered it, but we had no peace whatsoever. You can never go against the peace of God that you have in your spirit man. Never. Just because a doctor is telling you how bad it's going to be for you if you don't do this or what could happen, you have to follow the peace of God. And so, you know, that's what we always endeavor to do, is just follow where the peace of God is. And the peace of God was not in radiation therapy or chemotherapy. We just didn't. We felt okay about a minor surgical procedure, but we had no peace whatsoever about the other things. Why? I don't know. I don't know why. You know what I've learned? You don't ask those kind of questions. God knows us. He knows our frame. He knows how we're put together. He knows how we would interact with certain medications.
Sure.
God knows. God knew something about how I would have probably handled chemotherapy and radiation and said, no, you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So that's why your individual experience is so important when it comes to healing. Being hooked up and listening to him and paying attention to the things that he's saying to you. But it says there again in John 6:63, it says, the flesh profits nothing. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. And so I just can't stress how important it is that you don't use your body as the barometer for whether or not you're healed. You know, you just got to keep going after what you know the Word has to say, and eventually, you know what? Eventually, that flesh man is just going to catch up. It'll catch up with what you know to be true in the Spirit. Another passage of Scripture that I've been thinking on in regards to this is Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now, when I was reading that, I thought, you know, it made more sense to me to kind of read it in reverse. And so this is how I was reading it. Those who set their minds on the things of the flesh will live according to the flesh. And those who set their minds on the Spirit will live according to the Spirit. And so again, to me, if I set my mind on all these natural things, even, you know, some things that some doctors prescribe when a person's going through a journey of recovering from cancer is diet. And boy, when I was first diagnosed, I was going to go on a very strict vegetarian diet. And in fact, I started it. Same thing, the Lord just said, you know, there was just this, no, I knew that there are certain foods that absolutely, if you want to have good health, you just stay away from. There's just certain foods, you know. I'm not going to tell you what they are because I think most people in this room know what they are. But, you know, I just ate a very balanced diet and I'm continuing to eat a very balanced diet and just watch things. There's, you know, God put certain things on this earth that have incredible healing qualities in them. Lots of herbs and spices that we eat have incredible healing. Cinnamon and turmeric and things that are very natural that, you know, people just, they think it's just a spice, but they have enormous antioxidant qualities and things like that. Well, you know what? Incorporate them in your food. You know, they help us. God made them for that reason. When he put man in the garden, you know, and I'll read something to my husband about something new I just learned, he go, man, see, God knew what we needed. When he set man in the garden, he said, everything you see, eat it. Eat it all. Take it in. So those things were important for the health of the natural body. And so, but if you set your mind on that, if you set your mind on just the natural and just attacking it from a natural perspective, there can come a time when that's not enough. That's just not enough, where you need something much more powerful than natural approaches to healing to overcome in that area, to walk in that healing. And so he said those who live according to the Spirit or set their minds on the Spirit will live by the Spirit. So, you know, if we set our minds on what the Word says and we let that be our meditation, that's what's going to dominate. Now, you know, honestly, now I'm at the point in my journey where I rarely think about having been sick. I'll tell you the only times that it really hit me was when I had to pay those bills. The insurance company that we have, currently we're about to change that because I'm going to be turning the golden 65 number here, so Medicare kicks in and we have to do a supplemental insurance. Well, the insurance that we've been using, it's a real interesting type of insurance, but it's really not insurance at all. It's a co-op type of thing. And they pay, but they don't pay for about 120 days after you file your forms. And so we've had to make payments on some really, really, really big hospital and medical provider, service providers' bills. And so that was my, like, reminder time when I'd go to pay, and there was four or five different ones that we were paying on every month, and that would be my reminder of what I had been through. But I honestly, and I'm not exaggerating at all, I can go for days and never think about the fact that, oh, that's right. Somebody will call me or I'll get an email from somebody standing with you for your healing. And I don't know what they exactly mean by what they mean by that, if they think that I'm like in the throes of those last breaths or or if they're just standing with me for the victory in my healing. I'm not sure. I'm glad they're standing with me, you know. But it's just an interesting, to me, I told my husband, sometimes I just feel like what I went through was kind of like a hiccup. It was like a hiccup. It was a bump in the road. It was a fluke. That's how I think about it. And so, you know, some people, that word cancer just scares them. It scares them. But, you know, part of Psalm 91 and part of being in Christ is, it says that our hearts are fixed and stable. That means your heart's established. When a person's heart's established, they, according to Psalm 112, they are not afraid of evil tidings. You know, there's no fear attached to that. It's just the doctor's just giving me some facts. That's all they're doing. That's all he was telling, or she was telling me, was this is what we found, this is what it means, and this is what we need to do. But I knew the greater truth of what I needed to do and how I needed to apply myself. And so, you know, there's fear that tries to come on. Thoughts. I'm not saying thoughts didn't hit me, because at nighttime, you know, you wake up and you have to get up and use the restroom or something, and you come back and you lay down, and that seemed to be the magic, the witching hour for fiery darts to hit. But you know, what did I do? I did what I believed was the answer. I answered those things. Within myself, I would speak out what I believed the word had to say about me. And you know what? It's just a matter of just sometimes just not even a minute that those thoughts would just kind of evaporate. God's word was just so much bigger than those lies. Because doesn't it say the shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the wicked? When a dart would hit the shield that's talking about, it was a fiery dart, but the dart would embed into the shield that was a piece of leather that was soaked with water. And so when the fiery dart hit it, it extinguished it. Is that the right word? Yeah. It extinguished it. Well, so that's what the word will do. That's why we have to stay full of the word, to like a sponge, to where you're just dripping with it, so that when the fiery dart hits, it's just extinguished by the word that's in your life and what's coming out of your mouth. Remember, Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. There's power in God's word when it comes out of our mouth.
That's right.
And it says, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. I love God's word, and I'm going to eat the fruit of healing, because that's what I've been speaking. Amen. So I'm going to stop. I didn't get through all my stuff here tonight, but I'm going to stop here. But does anybody have any questions or kind of wondering about any of the things that, you know, that we've been talking about over the last few weeks? Sometimes people hear a message like this, and it's like, I don't understand this part of it, or you want to add something. Maybe you've got a revelation or something that you want to add about something you went through that was similar. You know, this didn't just work for me because I'm a pastor or a pastor's wife. You know, like God has, you know, special little anointings for people who are called to the ministry. Amen? I'm a believer just like everybody else, and yeah, works the same for me as it does for you. Robert?
Yes. I know this was a while back. Well, not that long. You know, I had was going to the doctor, was concerned about my kidneys, and, you know, I had, you know, came to you and Pastor Dwayne that night, and y'all prayed.
Yep.
Prayed with me.
Amen.
And not that, you know, like I was told you, I was listening to some of your equip class scriptures talking about healing. And so that's what I, you know, was dealing with, you know, started listening to them daily, because it helped me to, you know, remind me throughout the day, you know, that I have to stand, like you said, on God's word. But then they did other tests, and now the doctor, like last week, she said, your kidney's been fine. We don't know what happened. But I just, you know, smile. I know
that's
what happened.
That's awesome.
Praise the Lord.
And so I just, you know, it's a testimony also, but it was, like you said, the doctor would come, and that fear tried to come up on me.
Sure.
Like, your kidneys, you're going to be on dialysis.
Yeah.
Just crazy stuff, you know, standing me. And so it's almost better sometimes not even say anything to other people if they don't understand what you're saying, because I had told some other friends.
I know.
You know, they want to do that pity party.
Right.
You know, you start, you know, control that way too. And so this last time I did, I just came to your house for one.
Yeah, amen.
And
so that's an awesome testimony.
But I'm still, you know, fighting. Like,
sure, it's an ongoing thing.
I just think daily, because it's so easy, the enemy don't want us to believe God's word, and that flesh, I mean, your flesh, it just, I like that when you say, don't ask it, don't try to get comfortable.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, I mean, it's constant. It's a constant battle, especially when you're first in the beginning of the battle. That's the hardest part, I think, is just to keep at it. You can't do this for 1 or 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You have to stay on it constantly. Yeah. It's an ongoing thing. It's ongoing. I will never back off on my confession of the word regarding my health now. I will never, ever. But mainly, the way I'm going at it, though, is I'm going at it by spending time meditating on new creation realities. Because as I said last week, if you do a thorough search of the epistles, which are where we live.
That's
I mean, I love the Psalms and Proverbs. I love Old Testament history. I love Acts, the history in Acts, the recorded historical things. But our lives should be soaking in constantly in the epistles. Because that's new creation reality territory. Amen?
Amen.
But there is little, if any, mention or even intimation of healing in there. You know why? Because Paul knew that if we knew who we were in Christ,
amen,
we wouldn't have to just spend time soaking in the word regarding healing, because it's part of the new creation.
Mm-hmm.
Any more than you have to spend time focusing on and confessing that I'm saved, I'm saved,
right.
I'm saved,
right.
I'm saved. You just accept
right.
it,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Yep.
No, it's part of the deal. It's all wrapped up in one. Healing, salvation, preservation, protection, deliverance, financial needs. It's all wrapped up in that redemptive package. And our job is just to get our minds renewed to that.
Right.
Healing will just fall in line. Now, I'm not saying we don't confess healing scriptures. I still confess healing scriptures. If I feel something or I get a twinge with my knee right now, I'm speaking life into that thing. You know, you do it. But I just found it very interesting that where is the healing message in the epistles? It's in the new creation. It's in what was done for us through Christ on that cross. By his stripes we were healed. By his stripes we were saved. By his stripes we were set free. By his stripes, by the stripes that were that wounded him, we were healed and made whole.
That's right.
Amen. So, you know, it's just those are some things to be thinking about. But get yourself, as we talked about last week, get yourself an in him and spend time in that little book feeding on those realities and turn it into personal confession.
Yes.
Josh.
Do you have time for one question?
Sure.
What did you mean? Maybe clarify, your body is not directly linked. Were you saying that to your spirit?
Spirit.
Were you saying that the because it sounded like from previous statements that the soul is the kind of the mediator between your body.
Right.
So that's the direct link.
Yeah.
Or the link.
Yeah. It kind of it's kind of the bridge between the two.
So that's why we need to renew our minds.
Exactly.
And stay in the word.
Exactly. Because Romans 12 says that if we don't renew our minds, there will be no transformation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's talking about physical transformation as well as soulish transformation. But it says then you can prove, you can bring into the natural the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God.
So if our soul lines up with the new creation reality, then there's a direct line and it feeds that, and it's not cluttered with false things.
Andrew Womack's book, Spirit, Soul, Body, is a good book. I would recommend that to anybody. But he has a couple diagrams, and one of the diagrams he's got in there is like a pipe. There's three sections of the pipe. There's the physical, there's the soul, and there's the spirit man. And in the soul, there's like a
spigot,
or what do they call those turns?
Well, like a faucet.
Yeah, like the faucet.
Valve.
Valve. And if you don't get your mind renewed to the word of God, that's like having it closed.
Mm-hmm.
So what's true in the spirit, right on the inside of every single person who's born again, the healing power of God is there.
Mm-hmm.
and it's dynamic. It's powerful. The same. The word says the same power in Ephesians chapter 1. The same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead is on the inside of us. Now think about it. If death, hell, and the grave could hold Jesus, because that power is what raised him up, do you think sickness is any match for that power?
Not at all.
Do you think financial or oppression or any of the things that hit us, do you think any of those things are a challenge to that power?
So then we could say we've opened the valve to salvation because we don't need physical confirmation. Our body's not always telling us we're not safe. So that's an easy one for us to believe sometimes.
Yeah.
So we've opened up the valve enough to let salvation through that filter.
Yes.
But we haven't opened up the valve to healing all the time. Fully.
And Doug Jones, and I don't know if you remember that, but Doug Jones said to us, and I don't remember what class it was when we were at Rhema, he said, because Josh, you all know all this, but Josh was a classmate of ours down there, he said that he believed the day was coming that it would be as easy to get healed as it was to get saved. Mm-hmm. But I think when it finally clicks, that, well, first of all, it's the same, it's all wrapped up in the same package, that healing was, it snuck right in with salvation. And it's only because we haven't learned how to not consult our flesh to determine our healing. Mm-hmm. It's because of that, because we're still so carnally dominated. We're so dominated by, and I don't mean carnal like sinful, I mean we're so easily affected by what we see and feel and all the natural inputs and stuff like that. And I think it's because of that. Whereas we didn't have any kind of sensory things to consult for salvation. Because what would getting saved feel like anyway? But we knew before what healing would feel like, or we think we would know. Yeah. So the whole thing is to spend time in the Word, renewing our minds to these realities, and that slowly turns that spigot, that faucet, that handle, the whatever you call it, to allow that flow from what's real in the spirit man. We don't have to wait for God to do anything. What more is he going to do? Mm-hmm. To get what's real in the spirit man through into the natural man, into the flesh. And that just that's our job. That's our only part to do, is to get our minds renewed. And to obey God, obviously, to do the things he tells us to do. So, anybody else? Yes, Stephen.
I was going to say, just backing up what you said about not confessing all the negative about how you feel and things like that.
Yes.
I had a friend of mine who had gone to Mayo, and they thought she had some kind of cancer. And she called me up, because I usually pray for a lot of sick people, and she said, should I tell such and such person? Because we both knew that person would just immediately tell the whole world. You know, they have telephone and
oh, boy.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, tell a Christian.
And
that's good.
The Spirit of the Lord immediately told me, tell her, you know, we both love this person and all that, but this is something that's personal to you. And we don't think you should. Because even Mayo was like 80% sure, but they weren't 100%. They're going to do some more tests. Said, let's just pray.
Yeah.
And, you know, put it in the hands of God, but don't tell this person.
Right. And the other side to that, too, is that even Christians will treat you like a sick person after that. I've had that with a few people that they acted very strange about. They didn't know how to talk to me. They didn't know how to act towards me. And it's like, well, first of all, I wasn't acting sick. I wasn't, you know, I know pastors shared with people what I went through, so people understood that, you know, as a family, we were going to fight this together. But people act differently towards you. They act like you're a sick person. They talk to you like you're a sick person. They treat you like a sick person.
Yeah, and I was going to say, the good news was, like, after about 3 to 4 months and a few more tests, the things that the Mayo saw totally disappeared.
Amen. Glory to God. And you know, it doesn't mean they weren't there. It just means that God dealt with it.
Yeah,
sure. Amen. Well, that's just, I mean, we could go on and on and on about different aspects of these healings, but we know what the final ultimatum is that God's already done it. And so it's just learning how to receive what he's already done. All right. Anybody need prayer before we close? We're going to close for some fellowship.